from the pastor by the name Harold Burden. Yes, for Brother John and Erna Siriger, especially this is for you, from Pastor Harold Burden. He is from the CHIP program, and he called me yesterday, and he said, you received all your certification for the CHIP program in order for us to run this program in the Pune Church and in the Hilo Church, and he would like personally to come and visit us, and he wanted to share his congratulations with you, and especially he wanted to wish the whole church a happy Sabbath. Amen. Oh, we're glad that you are here today. Today, actually, we need to once again look at Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus will invite you personally? What people will say about Jesus having dinner with you? What do you think? If Jesus will invite you to dinner, and then people will see you what you're eating with Jesus, what people will think about you. Okay? The truth in our days is what we as a people, quite often even as the Christians, we're considering ourselves, oh, no, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough to go to dinner with Jesus. How could I? Oh, no, it's me, no. But you see, the truth is we are always feeling what we are insecure Christians. We are insecure exactly what is really happening in our hearts and all this around us. This is what I wanted to share with you. In the last 17 years as I'm pastoring, it's always I'm listening to the people about their insecurity, what we are all insecure. What about you here in the Pune Church? Are you secure? How many of you are feeling what you are secure and quite stable, everything is well organized in your life, and you don't need any security from the Lord? Today, this is what we are going to talk about. You see, if your marriage is kind of tanking and going down, and if you don't get counseling, what else might happen after this? Or your business is going down, and if you don't get help, what might happen after? If you are not having a counselor, it means you might even fall into the deeper pit. So far, what I'm trying to share with you this morning, what we need to have a counselor. We have an advisor. We need to have somebody who will advise you and me. And we are talking about the holy guidance and the Holy Spirit. So often we are living under the pressure of insecurity. But the Lord Jesus wanted to share with you security, assurance, and hope. And the reason why we are so insecure, because we are prejudgmental quite often. And this is what I'm going to share with you right now in the sermon. What levels and what steps we are using, how we are judging and evaluating our lives. Before we will go into the Bible study, let's have one more prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, help us to hear your voice. Help us to feel your presence. And help us to worship you in the same way as all your disciples and the faithful people worship to you from the pages of the Bible. Bless us today for the Bible study. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me do some adjustments here. Okay, our deepest needs in life to feel valued. Can everybody see this? To feel valued. It will be nice if you will just look at your sermon outlines. How many of you received sermon outlines? Yes, please, use pencils, use the sermon outline, and we will go in to see what our deepest value, what we need in our lives, is to feel valued, to feel valuable, to feel like your life is matter. And as a result, we are constantly doing two things. We're usually evaluating and comparing. We're usually evaluating and comparing. And the first way we judge our worth is by our appearance. And this is what you need to write it down right now. How do I look? Write it down. By our appearance, this is how we usually evaluate our worth. How do I look? Yeah, the little creatures which God created, they're not actually so little, but they always wanted to see how they look too. And actually, they're looking toward the future here, yes? Yeah, so often we need to pay attention. What the problem is with us, when we are questioning ourselves, how do I really look? You know, there is not so many really stunning people or beautiful people in the world. Most of us are just normal and average-looking people. In fact, everybody around you are the normal people. Everybody around you. Only except you. Only except you personally. Because you are the only stunning and beautiful. But if you are the only person in this church who is actually so beautiful, all the rest of us, oh, we just a normal-looking people. And we just, if they're normal-looking people, this is the way how you're evaluating your life. This is the way how you're trying to judge and prejudge about yourself. This is not the actual standard by which you need to evaluate yourself. The second false, prejudgmental approach which we're using, it's when we are evaluating our worth, not by appearance, but by our affluence. Did I say it right in English? Yes, it's exactly when we are always wondering, oh, what do I owe? If I have enough money, oh, it means by our affluence, I worth something. What about, it's a world of materialism. When I'm thinking, oh, what do I owe really? Yes, the Lord bless us here with a nice house in Hawaii. But honestly, this house belongs to the Lord and to the bank. We're just simply occupying it. But in reality, people are saying, wow, big house. It's not our house. It belongs to the Lord. And everything what you owe, it belongs to God. The third thing which we need to think about, by our achievement. You know, just a few weeks ago, even maybe the previous weekend, many people are wondered about their achievements, how they received that opportunity to graduate from the high school, from college. And in the last couple of weeks, we had a graduation month. And actually, many people are wondered, wow, I achieved right now. I was so working hard for this. And people are using different ways and approach how they can achieve the high point. But this is not how you're supposed to evaluate your life, only by the achievement, something what not the rest of the people can achieve. But the fourth approval, it's by the approval, the fourth approach which you can use. Approval based on a worth. And approval says, how well I'm looked. How well I'm looked. Look at the picture now. How well I'm looked. Yes, I'm so happy, yeah? This is exactly how the animals are thinking. And they wanted to be, notice what they are having enough attention. But the problem which you can see, none of these standards by which we are trying to evaluate ourselves, when we're talking about security, we need to see what they are absolutely insecure. Our beauty fades with age. Anybody has a witness here? Anyway, I was used to be young and handsome. My wife is still saying I'm handsome, and I'm trying to believe your words. Anyway, our possessions wear out. Our success are surpassed. Others sometimes reject us. This is where we are living. This is the real world. And only solid foundation. Only solid foundation for the self-worth, for the self-evaluating. We should not look at the people, how people are prejudgmentally thinking about us and how people are judging us, but what God is saying to you and me about you and about why He created you and brought you into this world. The great illustration and the great example is going to be in the story with the name Zacchaeus. How many of you remember this person? How many of you remember the story? Thank you. We will find this story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And now, I would like for you to follow the story here. Right now, as you look at the sermon outlines, please don't write anything until I will tell you, because you will get confused otherwise. Okay, just listen to the story, and you will see how we can check about Zacchaeus, what he really experienced in his life. Because Zacchaeus used the same approach four different levels and four different standards how he was so prejudgmental toward himself. Let's look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he doesn't like his appearance. The Bible tells us he was so short. In fact, he was so short, he couldn't see above the crowd. He was shorter than everybody else in town. Tradition tells us that Zacchaeus was the shortest man in the city of Jericho. In fact, the Greek word described what that word short described the body in undeveloped child, the small one. Yes, and actually, because of that, he was abnormally short. Because he was probably be teased by his peers, ridiculed his entire life about his height. Can kids be a little bit cruel and ruthless on the playground, boys and girls? Yes, you can remember maybe this time. Kids can be even meaner than adults. But this is what Zacchaeus, this is how he grew up in this kind of environment. Probably Zacchaeus' entire life, he was given a hurtful, cruel nicknames. And he learned, please, don't worry about the opinion of the others. Please, don't worry about the opinion of the others. Because he was constantly made fun of. And now the second standard here. He was hated by everyone, and he was the chief collector. In fact, he was the chief tax collector. That means he hated by everybody. Tax collectors are, I don't know, maybe they're not so popular people. Depends how you will look at them in our days, tax collectors. But you don't just call in our days tax collector and say, come over to have a dinner in my house and just review my home and review my papers here. Do we do that quite often? You see, and the Roman tax collection was so corrupt with a few Jews, with few people, especially as Zacchaeus, who became the tax collector, they were not self-respected at all. He could have been disowned by even his own family because he joined kind of the other side, the other party. And he was disowned by his own family. He couldn't even attend the synagogue and participate to the worship service. This is the reason why I emphasize in my prayer today about the worship service, how important for us to see each other, to pray to God and enjoy the fellowship. Oh, he couldn't even attend the synagogue. And he was considered as a murderer. Besides this, the worst of this thing over here, what he was the chief tax collector. He was above everybody who is quite crooked over there. And he was the chief tax collector. Look at the next step over here, the third point. He hated himself. And why? Not only does Zacchaeus, he doesn't like his appearance, he has no approval of the crowd. He was hated by everybody. And Zacchaeus doesn't like himself. And now, because he was not proud of his personal achievements, everything what he got, everything what he owned, he simply stole from the other people. You see, you cannot be happy and guilty at the same time. You cannot be happy and guilty at the same time. You cannot give up your integrity and have harmony and happiness in your life. He knew what he steals so many stuff from the other people. And now he is so lonely. He got so much money, but he is lonely and unhappy man. But on one single day, everything changed 180 degrees. It was an amazing day in his life. Have you ever experienced such a day like Zacchaeus? What happened? Jesus shows up. And Jesus came and approached the city of Jericho. And that day, all the people, they stopped to talk about Jesus. Well, Jesus is coming into the town. He's entering into the town. And Jesus entered, and he approached, and he stopped and looked up. He walked through the town and comes to the tree. And Zacchaeus was there on the tree. Said, oh, right now it will be nice if you will go to our sermon outlines and write some of the points which I really would like for you to remember. The first outline which you will write over there, the first step, The first thing which we need to learn here is no matter how small I feel, Jesus is noticing me. How small you feel. If you think, okay, somebody here on the stage, it's pastors and elders and the deacons and so on, and I'm small, I'm just sitting over there in the church, I will just do my dues and I will go outside. No. Jesus is paying attention to you today. And Jesus is noticing, where are you today? So he goes and see what Zacchaeus is doing right here. Zacchaeus does two things that no Middle Eastern wealthy man will ever do. And look at this. He runs ahead to a spot where Jesus will pass by. He runs ahead. He runs ahead of the crowd. In those days, running was for slaves only. When you can read the story about the prodigal son, what is his father doing? He was running. He was running toward his son. And it's specifically in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, Luke emphasized what father was running as a slave. Zacchaeus did the same. He was running toward the tree. And the next thing what he did, he climbed. The second thing, he climbed up in the tree. No self-respected Middle Eastern businessman, because Zacchaeus was a businessman, yeah, with the tie and a nice suit. Anyway. Okay, Eastern businessman will climb up in a tree, and this is what exactly he did. He did as the slaves do. Okay. By the way, it will be so nice. What in Hawaii, it seems like everything is growing so nicely over here. It will be nice if someday we can plant a sycamore tree. Could we? Sycamore tree, right here, in your territory, right in the church's territory here. It will be nice if we will just stay around that sycamore tree and tell stories and maybe pray once in a while. Depends, because everything seems like it's growing in Hawaii. Anybody will volunteer with this? It will be really great. Sycamore tree in the Puna church. It will be wonderful. Zacchaeus, he just climbed up on the tree, and he was waiting for that moment. Look at the actual story here. It was really amazing and shocking how Jesus approached Zacchaeus according to the chapter 19, verse 3 and 4. Jesus is saying to him, But then Jesus got to the tree, he looked up. He looked up. Notice he stopped, and Zacchaeus, under Zacchaeus' tree, and all the crowd, everybody was parked around. And can you imagine right now what's happening to Zacchaeus? His heart started pounding, and blood was racing. Why? Because Zacchaeus, he really was amazed. Jesus stopped, he noticed me, he's totally focused on me. All the crowd, all the people, they're looking at me. At the person, he was overlooked. He was most insignificant. And now everybody is paying attention to Zacchaeus. Why? Because Jesus looked at Zacchaeus. If you want to be significant in your life, let Jesus look at you. Open your heart toward Jesus, and he will look toward you. So often we are neglecting, we're not paying attention when Jesus is looking at us. Let us see. If Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, let me say, I don't know if you are going, what are you going through right now in your life, but maybe if you feel insignificant in your life, or maybe you're going through some problems in your life, and maybe you're struggling financially, maybe you feel like you're in a limp relationally, maybe you feel like you're in a hole kind of spiritually, and nobody ever knows you are there. This is your time. Jesus is looking at you personally. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a personal attention toward you. This is what it says in the Bible. There never been a moment in your life when God took his eyes off from you. He saw you when you take your first breath. He heard you scream, your first scream. He saw you being formed in your mother's womb. Why? Because he is your maker. He is your creator. He brought you into this world for a special reason and purpose. Is it a wonderful word to hear? Is it a wonderful news for all of us to hear? What God brought you for the special reason and purpose. And Zacchaeus, he was most hated, most insignificant, and now everybody is looking at Zacchaeus. Why? Because Jesus looked at him. According to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, it's quite interesting to notice what God never overlooks a single sparrow. Remember this text? Remember this story? God never overlooked a single sparrow. Beside this, it says, even the number of your hair, he knows. Do you know what the greatest expression of love is? The greatest expression of love is not just if you will buy somebody flowers. Or the great expression of love, it's not just to buy a box of chocolate or something else. But the greatest expression of love is given to the person, a gift which is only belongs to you and God. The greatest expression of love is your attention. Your attention. Paying attention, it means because your attention belongs only to you, it's your time, it's your desire to love somebody who is not loved. And you're giving them the part of your life which God entrusted into your hands. God gave you your life, and God wanted for you to share your life with the others. The greatest expression of love when you are sharing your gift of love with the others, with your child, with your husband, with your wife, with your friends at the church, and even outside of the church, where you can share with them the love of God. And right now, we can see the next point here. No matter who ignores me, Jesus, he knows me. This is what you need to write it down. No matter who ignores me, Jesus knows me. Jesus knows me personally. He knew Zacchaeus by his name. It's exactly what it says, and according to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, it's the second part. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by his name. I checked in my Bible. I'm sure you will find that in yours. You remember when Zacchaeus, when God and Jesus approached Nathanael, before he chose him as one of the disciples. He said, oh, I saw you under the tree. Nathanael, it's exactly what he used, yes? He called him by his name. And not only Nathanael, he called Peter. He said, you're going to be the rock. He called some others too. He called Elijah, then he was silently waiting for the Lord to respond. He called Jeremiah, Isaiah. So many times God calling the persons by their name. It means God knows your name personally. And don't wonder, just don't be surprised when God will call you by your own personal name and say, this is God speaking to you. Because he made you, he created you. And he wanted for you to experience joy and assurance and a future. But this is a really surprising what he was sharing about Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus, his actual meaning of the name, Zacchaeus, the pure one, pure one. Yes, maybe he was a Mr. Corruption, I don't know. But he was the pure one according to the words of God here. Jesus looks up at him and says, hey, pure one, I had probably been maybe so many years. Nobody called Zacchaeus by his own personal name. Everybody called him, I don't know, just name it. He was the crook. He was despised. He is anything but not pure. But Jesus Christ himself called him, hey, pure one, come down from the tree. My dear friends, we need to remember how Jesus is paying attention even to one of the most hated men in the city. You see, he's telling him, if you whatever you've done wrong in your life, it doesn't matter to me right now because I can see your desire, what you would like to see me, and you would like to experience joy and assurance with me. You see, Jesus goes to the biggest sinner in town. In the people's view, and he doesn't say, Zacchaeus, let me give you 100 things that you have done wrong in the last 3 weeks. He's saying, no, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I would like to have a party. Let's do Hawaiian style. Let's go party tonight. It's going to be a wonderful time. Come down from the tree. Let's go party. What is going on here? Jesus is trying to tell Zacchaeus the way how he's really loving him as God, as the Father, as the Heavenly Father. And this is what God is using for you and me here, right from the Bible. Where he is sharing this wonderful, beautiful verse from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. It says, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, what can mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for a child she has born? The answer, obviously, usually we say, no. If you are nursing a baby, there is so hard, there is no way if you will forget your own baby. But even if that were possible, God says, I will never forget you. See, I have engraved your name on the palms of my hands. Then Jesus Christ was crucified on an old rugged cross. They used nails to nail him to the old rugged cross. Those created scars. And God says, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. When you and I, when we will have a privilege to be in heaven, you will see what the only person with their scars in the whole entire universe, in the entire heaven, will be the only person, Jesus. This is what Sister White is saying. This is what the Bible is saying. For the rest of the eternity, we will look at Jesus while he's going to carry your scars and mine. I call this God's tattoo verse. God says, there is no way I could ever forget you because I engrave you in the palms of my hands. And he says, pure one, come down from the tree. Come down, I need to talk with you. And now let's go to the third step here. It will be nice if you'll write it down right in our sermon outline. There is a bigger one. No matter what I have done, Jesus wants me. No matter what I have done, Jesus wants me. Write this down, please. You see, Jesus wants me. Zacchaeus' appearance made him feel insecure and lonely and inferior. Oh, Zacchaeus' accusers made him feel bitter and resentful. He was pretty mad and all society. But Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? No matter what you have done, I want you as my child. I really want you. According to Luke chapter 19, Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, called him by name, and said, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for I'm going to be a guest at your home today. Just feel about this. Think about this. And try to place yourself on that particular tree. I am not worthy to be with Jesus tonight at the dinner. I'm not good enough. Look at everything what I have done. Look at everything what I had in the past. And Jesus is saying right now, Zacchaeus, come down. How long ago you accepted Jesus, my beloved friend? And after, when you accepted Jesus into your personal life, how many times you questioned yourself when you became 100% pure Christian and you haven't done anything wrong after when you accepted Jesus? Today, this is a message for you and me. You see, I fall short as a parent. I fall short as a husband. I fall short as a pastor. I fall short as a person. And now, check yourself and see if you fall short in anything what you have done in the past. But Jesus is trying to tell you and me right now, I want you. Please come down from the tree. No matter what I have done, Jesus wants me. And Jesus is telling you and me what he is standing by the door and knock. Until when you will open your door, and only after that, Jesus will come in inside to have time with you and eat with you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. No matter what others say, Jesus affirms me. This is our last point, which you need to write it down in our sermon outline. No matter what others say about me, Jesus trying to encourage me, build me up, and assure me. Okay, this is what Zacchaeus is experiencing right now. He's saying, oh, everybody despising me. Nobody is paying attention to me. Whatever I am achieved, nobody is even paying attention. But right now, Jesus is saying, I would like to build you up. Look at you. I'm going to your house and I want to have a relationship with you. According to the verse 7 in Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse 7, all the people saw him, how Jesus went and interacted with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus went home and Jesus went with him and dined with the most highest sinner in town. And how usually we can check the whole entire story, what really Jesus did for Zacchaeus. He said to Zacchaeus, and we can see his words here, "This man is a true son of Abraham." You see, for us, maybe it's not, we don't have so much meaning in this in our days right now, because he was the true son of Abraham. But on those days, he restored him. He built him up. He gave him the passport. He gave him the visa. He gave him the authority. He gave him everything to restore his name again among the society, among the people, and among the whole entire audience. He said, he is the true son of Abraham. In my little experience as a pastor, actually, I should tell you, I interacted with many Seventh-day Adventist backsliders. They kind of attended our church, they baptized in the church, and they went out of the church for so many years. But when they decided, okay, I'm going to come back to the church, and they moved by Jesus, and they came. Amen. And somebody in the church approached her, and said, "Oh, you showed up again to disappear? Oh, my dear beloved, I witnessed to that conversation." And they said, "Oh, my dear poor sister, what have you done? This person will never come again to the church because he came not to you, not to the church, not to your committee. But this person today wanted to see Jesus. He climbed upon the tree. He wanted to see him. He wanted to experience him. This is his desire from the bottom of his heart. What have you done as a person?" My dear beloved, this is what we need to learn. The love of Christ. The love of Jesus. This is what we are talking to you today. He is the true son of Abraham. He is the true son of Abraham. How should I respond? It will be nice if we will have a soft music right now, prepare ourselves for the closing prayer, and dedicate our life to Jesus as we will think of this, as we will think about everything what we just shared right now. How can I respond to Jesus? I may have been here to the Pune Seventh-day Adventist Church. Maybe I attended the Pune Seventh-day Adventist Church for months and for years. But maybe you never really opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ to accept him personally and say, "Lord Jesus, whatever the world is thinking about me, whatever my family is thinking about me, I would like to follow you, my Jesus. I would like to be completely yours." Today, I'm not going to invite you to the front. It's not going to be a special prayer front here for you. I would like for you to respond in your heart to Jesus. And as we'll hear with soft music here, I would like for all of us to think about Zacchaeus, about the story, and about how Jesus was looking up at Zacchaeus and saying, "Oh, please, come down. Come down. Tonight I would like to eat together with you at your table because you are worth so much. And I would like for all of you to see what you are, my precious child." How do I respond? If God, who made you and loves you so much, give one logical reason for not giving to know him, for not dedicate your life to him. Look at this. Can you name one logical, rational, intelligent reason for saying no to your Creator? I should have put a big Creator letter here. If you can think of any logical, rational, intelligent reason for saying no to the God who made you, loves you, saved you, wants you in your relationship, if you can just think of one good reason, you can even stand up and share with all of us. But there is no logical reason. Because God came into this world and he died for you and me. He wants for all of us to be back in a relationship with him, with our mighty and great God. It's a privilege for us to check this story and to enjoy this story and to see how God changed Zacchaeus and changed his approach, how he was valuing himself, how he was
judging himself according to those four standards. Zacchaeus, you look at yourself, what God has given to you. Lord, this is what said Zacchaeus. Lord, I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anyone, I will give back four times as much. It will be nice if you will underline this in your Bible. If you will just only think about this, Jesus can change a totally self-centered, selfish, it's all about me, it's only about me all the time. And right now everything is stopped. And he started to think about the others. And he's saying, Jesus, whatever I possess, I will give it to the others. Now it's not about me, it's about the others. If you would like to check about yourself, how do you know when you are really met Christ in your life personally? You will not hesitate during the time of offering to give a little bit more to Jesus. You will not hesitate to give a little bit more to the friend of God. You will not hesitate to give a little bit more to the child of God. And today as we're looking at this story with Zacchaeus, you can see so clear how much God really loves you. Are you really met Jesus in your life? Because today, he wants for you to have a public demonstration. This is what Zacchaeus did. He did a public demonstration of his love to Jesus when he opened his wallet and he gave it to Jesus. He gave it back to Jesus and he gave it to all from whom he stole money before. But today I wanted for all of us to pay attention to this story from the different perspective. He gives in a public demonstration. And how we can make a public demonstration in the presence of the Lord here. As Zacchaeus did publicly, we can see how Jesus is inviting you and me to make it publicly through the act of baptism. This is what we need to do in our lives. Jesus asks us to publicly indicate our changed lives by being baptized. Or maybe you will share with me, yes, I've already been baptized 20 years ago. Praise the Lord. Maybe you've been baptized 40 years ago. Praise the Lord. But today is your time to be rededicated. Completely submit your life to Jesus once again. Very soon we are going to have communion. It's going to be after 2 weeks. This is a small preview of the actual big baptism, communion. Rededicate your life through the act of communion with Jesus. Baptism is a public demonstration of your change in your life. And I'm inviting you to jump out of the tree and if you will simply invite Jesus into your heart. Invite Jesus into your heart for the public demonstration of baptism. Right now, I would like to pray with you. As the music is playing, will you pray this prayer in your heart? Will you think about God in a way how Zacchaeus looked at him from the top of the tree, and Jesus was staying beneath the tree and looking up at Zacchaeus and saying, come down, we will have party tonight because you are my special child. Dear God, I have tried to find my worth in all the false ways. I've judged my value and how I look by my appearance and what I owe by my affluence. And I've tried to support my value and what I have done by my achievements. And it makes me overwork. And how well I'm liked by all the other people. Thank you, Jesus, for the story about Zacchaeus. Thank you, but no matter how small, how insignificant I feel, Jesus, you always notice me. Everything in my life, everything what I have and owe, it belongs to you. Thank you, Jesus, no matter who ignores me, you know my name. And you engrave me in the palms of your hands. And you got my picture in your wallet. Because you're always thinking about me, your eyes are always on me. Thank you, Jesus. But no matter what I have done in the past, you still want me. You still want a relationship with me. And you want not simply a religion. You want not only my presence here at the church, but you want a relationship with me daily, throughout the whole week, and especially on Sabbath. No matter what the other people think about me, you are building me up and saying, I'm a true son of Abraham. It means I'm a true son of the Lord. I'm a true son of God. What a privilege, dear Lord, I have. If I will simply surrender my life to you and invite you for the public baptism or rededication of my life to you and say, Lord Jesus, enter into my heart. Lead me, guide me, make me an example to the others, and help me, Lord, to love you from the bottom of my heart. Lord, please enter into my life, because I would like to surrender all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying right now. Amen. Right now, we'd like for all of you to stand as we will sing our closing song. I surrender all to Jesus. Number 309. And actually, I have the words on the screen here. You can read from the screen or number 309.
Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless, with great joy, the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.